to Emerge, the radio show. I'm Sharon, producer for the Emerge team. Thanks so much for joining us today. This week, we're talking with James Rousseau, founder and CEO of the CoreLink Solution, a social enterprise that provides learning and development programs to help individuals and organizations achieve their personal and professional goals. We're also speaking with serial entrepreneur, CEO, and owner of lifestyle brand Luxury Professionals, Richmond, Virginia native Latoya Parham. All of that, plus, of course, we will make a divine decision with Dorothea, and DeShana gives us her 2 cents on finance. Let's get things going. As always, we'll start off with some super helpful tips to help you emerge as a CEO. We're sliding with Tiffany into the CEO's corner. Emerge,
emerge yourself. Welcome to the CEO Corner, where you get tips on how to emerge your business. This week, I'm going to provide tips to you CEOs about building a compelling value proposition. What is that? A compelling value proposition is crucial for capturing the attention and interest of potential customers. It outlines the unique benefits and value that a product or service brings to the table. So to build a compelling value proposition, you should consider the following steps. So take notes. Understand your target audience. Begin by conducting thorough market research to understand your customer needs, preferences, pain points, and desires. This knowledge will help you tailor your value proposition to resonate with them effectively. Identify your unique selling points. Determine what sets your product or service apart from the competition. It could be a specific feature, a more efficient process, superior quality, or exceptional customer service. Highlight these unique selling points in your value proposition. Focus on customer benefits. Clearly articulate how your offering solves customer problems or meets their needs. Emphasize the benefits they'll receive and the value it will add to their lives or businesses. Make sure the benefits are tangible and compelling to evoke customer interest. Keep it concise and clear. A value proposition should be succinct, easily understandable, and memorable. Avoid using industry-specific jargon or buzzwords. Instead, use simple and straightforward language to convey your message effectively. Test and refine. I repeat that again. Test and refine. Once you've crafted your initial value proposition, test it with your target audience, gather feedback, and make modifications as needed. Continuously refine your value proposition based on customer insights and market trends. Remember, CEOs, that a value proposition is an ongoing project and may evolve over time. Regularly reassess its effectiveness, I can speak today, to ensure it remains relevant and compelling in an ever-changing market. I'm Tiffany Boyle, and that's my tip from the CEO Corner.
Follow us on Facebook, search Emerge Radio Show. On Instagram, Emerge the Magazine, and online, emergethemagazine.com.
Hello, hello, everybody. We are here today with James Rousseau. Did I say it right?
Rousseau. You got it right the first time. My wife says Rousseau. Yeah, my wife always corrects me. Rousseau.
I like that. Rousseau. Yeah. It sounds French.
Yeah. I've deferred to her at this point.
Yeah, it is a French last name. So yeah, I would believe. I would go with your wife on that one.
Exactly.
Well, we are excited to have you today. And can you just let us know a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm the founder of the CoreLink Solution, the CEO of Holy Culture. More important, I'm a believer in Christ. I am father, husband of 26 years, and now a grandfather coming up on a year, and author, former executive in a number of different companies that now chooses to live in his purpose work and do a little board work on the side.
Nice. That was a lot.
It was. I love that you started off with being a believer. So we definitely know that part. Awesome. I am as well. And it's not a secret here at Emerge. So definitely shout out.
There you go.
So the first company that you said was what again?
The CoreLink Solution.
Mm-hmm. CoreLink Solution. So tell us what CoreLink Solution does.
Sure. The CoreLink Solution's mission is to revitalize communities by empowering people to reach their potential. We do that through both the CoreLink Solution brand, where we have learning and development programs, and the Holy Culture brand, where we have faith and arts. And so where people usually see us is mostly on Holy Culture's side. Spotify right now because we recently launched a channel on Sirius XM. We've had Holy Culture Radio for almost 20 years, but we've continued to build it out. And what we do is use Holy Culture Radio as the attraction mechanism, if you will, Christian hip hop to draw people in. I call it a soundtrack of healing, hope, and how to's. And when we get them to that how to, we really focus on four pillars: faith, art, vocation, and education. And that's where the Core Link Solution brand also comes back into play. We talk about vocation and education. Did I lose you guys?
No, you didn't. We're just like taking it all in because that's definitely a lot and very impactful of what you're doing.
What Tiffany just said, my mind is blown. I was almost speechless. I was trying to find a question within all of that information you gave us just about this company. When you say education, what exactly are you guys presenting or educating people on? I want to know that.
Well, we have our own curriculum called Success on Your Own Terms. It was birthed out of a book that I wrote and that was published in 2014. Success on Your Own Terms, 6 promises to fire up your passion, ignite your career, and create an amazing life. And those 6 promises start with helping people find their passion and purpose, right? Really peeling back, understanding your gifts and talents, how you hone them, nurture them, and then follow these other promises to live it out. And so that's what we do on the education side. And then we're a big proponent of, you know, we don't have to create everything. So we also work with other partners to help get people to the right place. So I'm a huge believer in being a lifetime learner, if that makes sense. And so when I told you about those 4 pillars, as an example, faith, art, vocation, and education, the 4th one is really a constant through all 3 of those things. Even if you have faith, you should keep learning and going deeper, right? I don't know how many of us may have been Christians for 20 something years. Every time you read the Bible, you learn something else and you continue to go deeper. Arts, right?
To read you.
Right? I mean, for real. And then arts, we all have a left brain and the right side of our brain, right? So we have the logic piece and we have that creative artsy piece. Neither one has to give away. How do you make that complementary and use both of them? So that's the education point. And then vocation, well, man don't work, man don't eat. How do you have a successful career, whether you want to work for somebody and continue to matriculate in an organization or whether you want to start your own business, be an influencer, whatever, all of those things require education.
I completely agree. And that was one of the biggest driving forces of why we started Emerge, because we wanted that networking piece first and educational piece. As I said, you could be so talented, but if you don't know how to run a business, your talent just stays there.
Yes.
It doesn't grow and other people can't benefit from your talent. So that's why we do these things, like talk to people like you and do the interview so you can give advice and tidbits so other people, our listeners, can grow from it.
Thank you.
So that's great. So why, and I know you guys have been around for what, 20 years?
Yes.
20 years, that's an amazing time span for your business. But if you remember 20 years ago, why did you start it?
Right. And, you know, I'll say 20 years, but I just want people to listen and understand too that I've only been full time at it since about 2018 or so, right? Initially, I was like most people, doing it part-time, sometime, whenever I could. When I first started it, you know, I was one of those kids who, born and raised in Philly, one of the rougher sides of Philly, didn't feel validated as a child, felt like my father didn't, you know, say, yes, you know, you're the guy, you know, proud of you and all those things, didn't have it. And then I lost him early, probably about 20 or so. He died of AIDS. And I think, you know, I sought out validation in other ways. Thankfully, it was really in a corporate setting, right? So I sought out validation by trying to achieve a lot of things. And so I joined Chase probably in 2000, grew up in there, was a vice president, then a senior vice president, and then moved to the other side of the company to run a business and a credit card business, and then went to Allstate to be president of a business there, and then did a couple of things, went to a company called Legal Shield, was the president there, and then subsequently chief commercial officer. And during that journey, very fortunate to find that I was achieving a lot, but maybe the reason, the rationale, the driving force behind it may have been misplaced, right? And so I was able to find myself and say, hold up, get grounded. You're a believer. These are some things you need to do, by the way, counseling and whatnot. I'm always going to say, particularly to men of color, don't shy away from counseling and talking to people that can help you. But then that helped birth the book and the ministry. So birthed the ministry in about 2003 or so. And then along that way, I was helping other people, mentoring and whatnot. And that made me take all these copious notes that I had all over the place from mentoring and turn it into a book.
Okay, like, wow, that was not only a lot, but it just kind of tripped me out. It was a small mirror of my own life with my father. He passed at 19, but at 18, I began a very ambitious job for a government contractor. And my plans were like, okay, I'm going to climb this ladder. And I did feel validation at that job because I didn't feel, like you said, that attic boy, attic girl throughout my life, right? You know, and so I wanted to prove, I had a lot to prove. I had a child young. So funny that you say that, but I would like to ask you something with everything you've told us, you know, so much personal background and just how it affects every part of your life, the education that you guys are doing. How do you administer these things and how did you come about that? Like, how did the structure of your business come, you know, to fruition, I guess I would say, and what is like your advice to other people who are trying to start a business? How did that look? And are you currently in brick and mortar? Do you guys just operate online? How do you administer and operate your business?
So we lease space. We're in Wilmington, Delaware. We're in an office building. We have space. We have a few employees. It's not a ton of us. I would say, you know, in our current business model, the large amount, I want to say almost 90% plus focus is on Holy Culture Radio right now because we have several million listeners. It enables us to use that as a megaphone to attract them into those spaces we want them to be in, learning and development, so on and so forth. And you both know this very well. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But when you talk about wanting to educate people and wanting to help people with their career, we often have to start with small bits of information that attract them into a learning process, right? That attract them into education and wanting to learn more about their career. We can't just walk and say, hey, you need a career and, you know, make them get going, particularly the younger generations without overgeneralizing. So, you know, that's part one in terms of how we operate. Part two, in terms of advice and starting it, again, I said earlier, I was always part-time, sometime, anytime. So over the years, I would figure out a way to get the book done, to then, as I'm out speaking and earning a little income speaking that related to the book, see people take copious notes during my speaking engagement. And that led me to, oh, we need a workbook to go with this as well and get together with an instructional designer and create a workbook. And then as we're going through that, saying, well, maybe we'll do Zoom sessions and so on and so forth. We say, you know, well, maybe we need also self-paced opportunities. So let's create the online version, right? And so on and so forth. So a lot of this was organic in terms of putting something out, watching how people were attracted to it, engage with it, and then trying to understand the needs and probe and figure out the needs and go from there. That's the other thing I would say, right, is having been in large organizations where we would want to develop a product or service and then spend tons of time, I call it pulling back this long slingshot and then think we'll release this product to the market and everyone will take it. Find, you know, minimal viable product opportunities. Do the smallest thing you can do that demonstrates the value of what you want to give people and see how they take to it. And then you can pivot and adjust a little more easily if you take an MVP approach. And the last thing I would say is advice is figure out how you're going to fund it, right? You know, one of the things I learned and that stays with me is there are really three major business decisions you'll always make. The investment decision, the finance decision, and the dividend decision. Is it a good investment? How can you figure that out and put that on paper in the form of a financial forecast along with all the qualitative things you want within it, right? The business, you know, case, and there's a true market form and all that stuff, you know, the market analysis and so on and so forth. But then second, the funding decision. How are you going to finance this thing? Are you going to shoestring it? Are you going to, you know, mortgage your home? Are you going to go to family and friends? Are you going to seek out, you know, venture capital, so on and so forth? And then the third thing is the dividend decision. What are you going to do with the profits when you have some, when you get to that point? And so I would just say, you know, when you're going to go out and do this, anything entrepreneurially, business-wise, chasing your purpose, even this doesn't, you know, I'm even going to talk to people in the church for a second. Even if God has blessed you with this unbelievable vision, still use the wisdom to put together the business case and the story and so on and so forth so you can be on solid footing.
Yes, yes, and yes. I think we are going to replay that clip multiple times so people can understand. Oh, I'm like planning and planning. You have to have a vision. You got to know, like you said, your God's purpose and your God-given purpose, and you have to plan on how you're going to get there. And when you get there, what are you going to do with it?
Right.
So I thank you again for teaching those classes. And I did want to go back to say, I wish more people would take, you know, their struggle and like you did and turn it into something positive, you know, where you didn't go into the streets per se. You went and got your validation by achieving so many things, you know, it might still not have been as fulfilling as you'd like, but at least it was on a positive note. So I'm like, take the negative stuff that happens in your life and turn it into something positive.
Yes.
is also a good lesson. So I know you've been on Sirius Radio for a year or will be a year.
Yes.
April 16th, correct? Congratulations. Yes. On that.
Thank you.
So how did you emerge or even decide to go from the radio to Sirius?
Oh, man. I'll try to give you the short version. When I left the corporate world in 2018 to say, I'm going to do this purpose chase. And by the way, it wasn't an overnight decision or while I was walking down the hallway, you know, the light shined on me and it was, oh, you know, wasn't that. My wife and I had been planning this for years. years. I think at least 2007-8 forward of, you know, will we make an exit one day? Will you make an exit one day and do this? And the idea was yes. I mean, it was the reason I took the job at Allstate, you know, to move from the Philadelphia area to go to that place in Chicago and do that job was a part of a stair step we felt to earn more, get closer inside the C-suite, try to impact people while I'm working, right? And so try to, even while I'm inside of a corporate environment, be on diversity councils, help change policies and things inside of the org to make it better for people and mentor people and so on and so forth. But at the same time, how could I be stepping towards the longer term? And so in about 2015 or so, got really serious about it. How are you going to leave? And was able to leave in 2018. And one of the first things that happened was, I think you start with a plan, and until you come out of the laboratory and put it on the street, you don't know how good the plan is going to work, right? And so I come out, I'm ready. I'm in the nonprofit full time. I'm telling everyone, and I look around. I go, wow, there's at least 200 plus nonprofits in Delaware alone that are focused on similar things, directly or sort of indirectly, if that makes sense, right? And you say, well, okay, hold up. Let me think about this for a second. To go deploy curriculums at every school when other folks are doing that, I'm not sure that's the best thing we could do. And so we took a step back and thought about it and said, what we could really do that could be helpful is be a megaphone. Like, how can we get disruptive and create audio at a broad level that's going to help people? And people may say, well, why radio in this day and time? Well, because 90% plus people still use radio as a discovery source minimally every week, 90% plus. Christians are on the high side of that in terms of gospel music and such. Two, why Christian hip hop? Because 91 million people in the U.S. listen to hip hop music, 50 plus percent of those being African American, and in our sweet spot of who we want to reach. Why necessary to be on Sirius XM? Because it's the only national signal 24/7 that you can get that has programming, both music and talk. And so for us, it was a tremendous opportunity if we could get the deal. And so we sought it out.
Wow.
I like how you can break down the numbers like that. I need you to come look at our radio show and break down the numbers for us.
Girl, I was just sitting here myself like, wait a minute, what did he say? Like, right? Like, we're totally going to church and school on how to get your radio station on a national platform. And I'm like, yeah, right. What you said, Finny.
Yeah. So you said you have a book, mm-hmm. right? What is the name of the book and where can people purchase it?
Sure. It's called Success on Your Own Terms. You can get it at Amazon, Barnes and Noble, all those good places online. And again, it's about how you lock into your passion and purpose and take some practical steps to live it out.
And when did you release the book?
It was initially released in 2014. And then my publisher changed. They were acquired by another publisher. I had the great opportunity to buy out of my contract. And so we took them back over in 18 and now we republish it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Very nice. Very nice. Well, if you could let our listeners know how they can get in contact with you, your organizations.
Absolutely. So you can reach us at holyculture.net. That's the place I will send you because that's where we have so much going on right now. And anything you want to know about us, you can find there, holyculture.net. Go to the about page or the contact page. You can reach me on all social platforms at James Rousseau. That's R-O-S-S-E-A-U senior. So S-R on the end. And I'm pretty easy to reach. And I'll respond if you have questions, thoughts, comments, pearls of wisdom. I'm here for it.
Yes, we are here for it too. And I actually have a question for you now that we'd love to ask. It is actually our signature question here at Emerge. And that is, what does the word emerge mean to you?
To come out of the valley. We are all going to have valleys, and in an age of social media, what you see is the constant portrait of my life is perfect and I'm winning. And the reality is no one's life works that way. There are a lot of valleys, but you can always emerge from the valley.
That's right. That is right. Yeah. I think that's a good imagery and, you know, a good reality check. Remind people social media is not real.
No one posts a picture of this is how I failed last week. These are the 10 things I'm struggling at. I just had my performance review and these are all the things my boss told me I suck at. No one is posting that, okay?
Ever. And then if people do post some negative things, people are like, why are they posting that?
Right. I don't want that. Give me back to a cat playing a banjo or something.
Exactly.
Kev on stage making fun of someone. Like, give me, I don't want that.
Right. Oh, man. Funny.
Exactly. Yeah. So we like the real. We like people to know business owners and entrepreneurs are not always happy. We have pitfalls and then we have great triumphs at the same time. So
indeed.
Facts.
Yeah. Yes. You like it real. So thank you so much, James, for coming on, sharing with us what you do and what you do for others. We thank you and we look forward to many great things from Holy Culture.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. It's been great.
You're listening to Emerge the Podcast.
If you would like to partner with us and have your business spotlighted on the show, contact us at emergethemagazine.com.
Welcome back. I'm Dorothea Schuler, and you're listening to Emerge, the radio show that's all about entrepreneurs and business and is the premier information source for business owners.
Every living person inevitably operates and proceeds throughout the course of their life based upon a series of decisions, whether it's a decision that you have made or one that was made for you. We can all agree a decision navigates us from one area of our lives into another. So let's take a minute to think about all of that. What is a decision? The dictionary defines it as a conclusion or resolution reached after consideration. In divine, well, that means excellence. So keeping those principles in mind, let's make the divine decision today to walk in love. What exactly does it mean to walk in love? Love is most easily interpreted as a physical interaction or a gesture of affection, such as a hug or kisses. But what does it truly mean to display love in the mental aspect, in our thoughts, with consideration, and in our actions? We all at some point in our lives have received or given some form of physical affection that we can describe as love. But are we choosing to love people by considering another person's feelings in the same way we would like for them to consider ours, especially in times that we know it's beneficial, not just for the other person, but also for us? When we choose to love, it's always beneficial for us. No greater love has one than this, that one lays his life down for his friends. So to all of the Emerge listeners, begin today to make the conscious effort, the decision to emerge yourself into love. Begin to consider others' circumstances, their difficulties, their shortcomings. Consider their humanness. When we begin to have this consideration, then we can have understanding. And with that understanding comes the ability and the room to properly love others. But now faith, hope, love abide in these three. The greatest of these is love. Today, make the divine decision to walk in love, knowing it will ultimately help to shape and create a path that reflects a light of excellence in our lives, one that shines love onto those around us. I challenge you to make the decision to emerge into your best life and walk in love. This has been a divine decision with Dorothea.
You can decide to be a part of Emerge, the radio show, by submitting your response to our signature question. What does the word emerge mean to you? Share that on our IG at Emerge the Magazine. This week's response is from Bria Watkins Jones of Tidewater Photo Booth Company. Emerge means to grow and experiment. Thanks, Bria. That was straight to the point. You can follow the Tidewater Photo Booth Company on Instagram at Tidewater Booths. That's Tidewaterbooths.
We are here with LaToya. We are so excited to talk about what she's doing and where she is emerging. So LaToya, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing pretty fine. Thank you, Tiffany and Deshaina, for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Of course. Welcome.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. First and foremost, hello to your listeners. My name is LaToya Parham. I am the CEO and owner of Luxury Professional. Born and raised in Virginia, Luxury Professionals is a brand with many branches. I launched a e-commerce clothing shop, and I also launched a sign-in agent service company. I know you're probably confused and probably like, oh my gosh, how do you go from, you know, fashion down to sign-in agent services? But I really wanted my brand to be something that's authentic, like something that describes me and not just a business. So I guess you can kind of call me a serial entrepreneur. And I think that with luxury professionals, you'll kind of get to know as you listen to me talk more about it, is it's built off of my brand and me just kind of like being authentic. With my clothing line, it's for luxury professionals, which ties in with my brand. And you can find me on all e-commerce platforms. My website is www.luxuryprofessionals.shop. And my IG handle is luxury_professionals. If you want to learn more, you can follow me. Please support, connect with me. That's a little bit about me.
I wouldn't say it's a little bit. I say it's a lot of bit. So let's start with, I guess, the beginning with like how you got started and why you chose the certain things that you're doing.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm born and raised in Richmond, Virginia. Growing up, I've always kind of wanted to be an entrepreneur. I kind of wanted to do things for myself, kind of be creative and dive on into the things that make me happy. And so this really kind of like started as a fluke. COVID happened. I'm sitting around. I work a 9-to-5. I love what I do. But I'm like, what can I do to make myself feel more accomplished? And so I'm like, I love fashion. I love like reaching out to the community, helping out the community. And with COVID, things happen in the financial industry. And so I'm like, okay, let me tap into it. These are two things that I like. Let me start my clothing line. And then I'll become a signing agent. And I will connect with different realtors in the area, and I'll kind of help out the community with, you know, reaching our next levels.
And your fashion is, from what I've seen, is I absolutely love it, because it's like a mixture of being fashionable yet professional of what you're offering. And I think that's like a hard thing to do, because I'm not like a huge blazer person, but I will totally rock a blazer with some gems on it, or maybe like a different shape, or just, you know, just coming to find things that still like represent you, but are professional at the same time. So I really, really love it.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's one of the things that I kind of wanted to tap into, because, you know, as a young professional, you want to look good, but you also want to be stylish. And so I'm like, how can I tap into my true self? Like when I go to work, I want to have color, you know, and I work outside of fashion, like in the legal field. I want to be taken serious. I want to be seen as someone strong and kind of chic. And so that's what made me come up with luxury professions. A little bit of chic with a little bit of glam added to it.
I feel like you are my fashion sister, because Tiffany knows I love to be extra. I like to put it on, right? And so in my day job, I work at the shipyard in Newport News, Virginia. And so imagine wanting to be glamorous and glitz and glam, but having to put on steel toes, safety glasses, and a hard hat. It kind of ruins everything I have going on, from my hair to my makeup to my outfit. So yes, I'm definitely for figuring out how to be functional. Yes, she does.
Absolutely. And honestly, just recently, I participated in RBA Fashion Week. It's a wonderful organization. It's headed by Jimmy Budd, Chanel Lazelle, and Ryan Azeza. And it's a platform given to creatives where they can just display their brands and they can kind of reach out to other creatives in the area. And so I designed a couple of pieces, and I honed in on the color. I had like this bright orange blazer, and then I added pearls in it, because I feel like they're classic. Then I added in some gems, some rhinestones, and like people went crazy over it. So you have to check it out.
No, that's awesome. And for those of you listening, that is Richmond, Virginia Fashion Week. And you know, Deshaina, I got to plug my guy. There's also Indy Fashion Week, which is in DC. So if you do want to expand outside of Richmond, let me know and I will connect you with the person who does Indy Fashion Week. But that's one of my favorite fashion shows or fashion weeks, because I love to give the brands that you don't always know about the opportunity to showcase. And those are the brands I can actually like meet the designer, go buy their stuff, support them, things of that. So that's like my absolute favorite.
I love that. I would love that opportunity, because one thing for me, I feel like as an entrepreneur, you should constantly want to grow and kind of educate yourself. And it's always a great thing to network different areas, different people. And so I would love it. You have to tell me more.
Great. So then the other thing you do, you said you sign agents?
It's a signing agent. Yeah, I'm a signing agent for realtors. And so whenever someone goes to purchase a home, refinance a home, then they can hire me. I travel. I also am virtual. And so I can help you with closing in on your home or refinancing your home.
Oh, okay. And then how did
you get into that business?
Well, I am a certified legal professional, so it's a paralegal. And a part of my certification is being able to notarize documents, being able to authenticate them. And that's kind of like a part of what I do. And so signing agent just blends right into it. It's definitely a market that needs someone to tap into. And if you are looking to become an entrepreneur, I think it's a great opportunity for you to kind of say, hey, I don't have to, you know, own a space. I don't have to have all these expenses, but I can still tap into being an entrepreneur.
Very nice. And how do you market yourself for that type of business?
So for that type of business, I'm operating off of word of mouth. I also have a website. It's Virginia Notary Solutions of Virginia. I haven't done any like social media marketing or anything, mostly, you know, off of metadata, mm-hmm. off Google, all those kinds of searches, and also just networking. I know a lot of realtors in the area, and so they reach out to me for my services.
Very nice. Very nice. And how do you market the fashion business?
So for fashion, because it's outside of my normal scope of being just corporate professional, I'm really heavy into networking. I completed RVA Fashion Week. I also connected with a really, really amazing group. It's called Heels and Hustle. It's a women's organization group ran by Niecy Hills, and she's located in Houston, Texas. My sisters, that's what I call them now. We all get together. We have meetings. We create social media content. We also market my website as well, and kind of like partner together to support each other. So I'm on social media heavy. You can find my website anywhere. I'm also on Amazon, TikTok, Facebook. I feel like I'm so old, but I'm on all of those platforms, and they kind of help me out with that.
That is okay.
You old with the rest of us that like Facebook, because I can't, the other stuff. We don't know how long TikTok's going to be around. Nobody wants to be on Twitter anymore. Like, so, yeah. You know, Facebook is going to stay.
Absolutely. I need help to keep up to date.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous how many different platforms and the different things you have to do. And I'm like, I can't keep up. So what, you were there as an entrepreneur panelist for Emerge Yourself Day. Talk to us about what you thought about the day and what were some of the questions you received and some of the responses that you gave.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was an amazing event. Anytime that you're able to tap into the young community is an amazing thing. And so being able to sit on the panel and talk with our future, it's just like breathtaking. It's amazing. And the students, they really connected with the panelists, like one and myself, because they wanted to understand, okay, how are things happening now? How can I recreate, or how can I create the future businesses? And so I got a lot of questions about how I run my business now and what things that the younger community could add to it. And that was like my number one question. Like, hey, I noticed you said that you use social media platforms to market your business. Well, I don't have those platforms and I'm the young adult. So what can I do? And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're connected to everyone. You go to school, you have parents, you're probably in all kinds of sports. Like, that is your market. You tap into it, you market yourself, you be yourself, and it'll all come.
That is true. And you definitely inspire, you know, a lot of students that day. And then how did it make you feel when students wanted to come up to you to show you their presentation before they did their pitch contest?
That was amazing. They worked really, really hard. You can tell by looking at their pitches that they had spent lots of time focusing on what they wanted to create for their brand. I mean, they were so excited, and I was excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm
so excited about it, that it was so well received. I think the thing that resonated with me the most is even after we announced, you know, the winners of the competition, because although the students, you could tell they really tried, of course, somebody had to win. So even after we announced the winners, they were like, well, we want to see our scoring sheets. We want to see our rubrics. Well, how do we do on this? And how do we do on that? And I'm like, well, if I had known y'all were going to take these rubric sheets, I probably would have written, you know, a little bit clearer and neater. But just the fact that they wanted that feedback, I think it speaks volumes to, you know, what we were able to accomplish with those students.
Yes. And that goes back to being an entrepreneur and wanting to learn more and wanting to grow. Like, they have that quality tapped into. So they're going to do great.
That is, yeah, it was awesome. So thank you so much for that. So let us know what we can look forward to seeing from you this year, next year, 5 years from now.
Yes. So, okay. I will be participating in another fashion show here in Richmond, Virginia for the Persuasion Models. It's at the Hoff Garden. If anyone knows about that location, it's so luxurious. You know, come out and see me on May the 12th from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. I'm definitely going to continue to brand out with my fashion. Also, you will see my new collection, my summer collection, dropping here shortly with all kinds of beautiful bathing suits for our luxury professionals who like to travel. And I also have a Mother's Day giveaway happening. So again, follow me, luxury professionals. You put an underscore in between that and you got me. I would say 5 years from now, like I said, I really wanted to create a brand, not just a standalone business. And so I hope to see my brand expand, where when you hear luxury professionals, you don't just think about the clothing brand, but you think about my signing agent business. You just think about everything luxurious. So yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
Awesome. And we hope the same for you. And we look forward to watching you, supporting you, and promoting you as well. So keep emerging, informed of everything you have going on so we can share. Please tell us, and I know you did a little bit in between the interview, on how people can contact you and support you.
Yeah. So again, I am on Amazon. You can look for my shop. It's called Luxury Professionals Shop. I'm also on IG. My handle is luxury_professionals. I also have a link in my bio to my website, which is on Google, all kinds of meta platforms, luxuryprofessionals.shop. Yeah. So I'll be there. I'm on TikTok too, Luxury Professionals. You can find me. I definitely hope to connect with everyone.
Amazing. Now, before we let you go, we have one last question for you, and it is our signature question. What does the word emerge mean to you?
Emerge. Let's see. When I think of emerge, I think of someone like coming out of water. I don't know why I think of that, but that's what I think of. And so I would say it means bringing your full self to surface, maybe being resilient and kind of rising above obstacles. That's emerge.
Love it. Love it. Well, thank you so much, LaToya. We are so happy that you were able to be on the show with us and share all the wonderful things that you have going on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Tiffany and Deshina. I appreciate you guys for giving me the opportunity.
You are most welcome. Emerge,
emerge yourself. Follow us on Facebook, search Emerge Radio Show. On Instagram, Emerge the Magazine. And online, emergethemagazine.com.
I am Deshana Kemp Garnett, and it's time for My Two Cents. Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome back to another episode of My Two Cents. And today's mantra is prepare for the worst, but plan for the best. Imagine your financial strategy as a resilient fortress. We have to do three things: anticipate the challenges, fortify our defenses, yet let optimism guide our plans. And that's the delicate dance of preparation and optimism. Because in finance, a solid plan is your best ally. I'm Deshana Kemp Garnett, and that's My Two Cents. A special thank you for the guests on today's show. To listen to past episodes of the Emerge Radio Show, visit emergethemagazine.com. Emerge,
emerge yourself. You've been listening to the Emerge Radio Show. All opinions expressed on this show are that of our guests and may or may not be shared by the Emerge Radio Show staff. Follow us on Facebook. Search Emerge Radio Show. On Instagram, Emerge the Magazine. And online, emergethemagazine.com.